And it's time now for Rural News with Eric Frickberg. And Eric, back to leather. International politics has played a part in the problem of disposing of dead animals on New Zealand farms.
That's right, Marnie. New information suggests the China-US trade war and the ravages of COVID-19 have played a big part in the troubles affecting the leather industry. This product has collapsed on world markets to prices last seen in the 1970s. The crisis left companies that collect dead animals from farms for their hides scrambling to avoid severe economic losses by making farmers pay to have the corpses taken away. Derek Ramsey handles international trade and specialty products for the Alliance Group and says leather prices were declining anyway. This was made worse by Donald Trump's tariffs and COVID-19 on the Indian subcontinent.
In India and Pakistan in particular, COVID-19 has been quite aggressive. And the tanneries there have been closed for 3 to 4 months now, and they've extended it out to the end of August, which essentially means all the orders we have on hand to ship are on hold. And the question remains, you know, will the tanneries reopen and survive this closure?
How important are those tanneries in the global picture?
Well, if you look what happened when China were imposed on the tariffs by the USA, a lot of the tanneries closed because simply the economics of making leather didn't work anymore. And a lot of that business relocated to India and Pakistan. The tanneries there did pick up the business, but now they've been hit with this challenge this year. And whilst all that's going on, the big fashion houses in the world are finding alternative materials and moving more aggressively towards synthetic.
Derek Ramsey says despite these problems, his company has been able to sell calf and some cow hides, partly because of economies of scale and alternative sources of income, unavailable to smaller firms collecting casualty cows. But even his company has seen the economics of sheepskins and some cow hides collapse.
Alliance has been proactive in expanding its sustainable waste management solutions for skins, so composting. So, you know, if you look at bovine, we salt all the bovine. If you look at ovine, sheep and lamb pelts, they're very expensive to handle and we're not getting the return. So a lot of those now, the lower grades, would be going to composting. But ultimately for me, animal skins are an abundant source of collagen. So it's possible the skin use transitions to collagen over the coming years.
That's Derek Ramsey of the Alliance Group. Collagen is widely used in medicine and cosmetics. A Mycoplasma bovis milestone has been reached in Southland. For the first time since December 2017, there are no active cases of the cattle disease there. The Agriculture Minister, Damien O'Connor, says the Southland farming community was hard hit by M. bovis, so the milestone is worth celebrating. He adds, though, that new cases are still expected from time to time during the government's 10-year eradication program. Altogether, throughout the country, nearly 160,000 cows have been culled and 247 farms have been cleared of the disease. Just 3 farms are currently infected. The specialty dairy company A2 Milk says COVID-19 hasn't halted its growth plans, which have been considerable over the past few years. The company today announced it has a new chief executive. David Bortolussi will replace interim CEO Jeffrey Babbage early next year. A2 Milk's chair, David Hearn, says under the new leadership, the company will continue to innovate and bring new products to established and new markets. He says it's been lucky to so far escape COVID unscathed.
That COVID has not affected our business directly in the way it has so many other businesses. And that's good fortune, I would claim not that we've been smart about that. You know, mothers in any sort of crisis are most concerned to make sure they look after, first and foremost, the health of their child. And so a product which comes from a reputable, clean and green environment, New Zealand, from a very reputable company, A2, whose whole positioning is close to nature, milk as it should be, those characteristics all play very well in the COVID environment. And so we've been very fortunate that our business has not been affected badly, and indeed we've been able to continue to grow. The challenges are there that you need to worry about the supply chain. We've been building stock so that we can supply continuously. It's more challenging. You can't be certain that you can get product through the supply chain quite as quickly. So we've been responding by building inventory to make sure we can continue to supply. But they are small challenges by comparison to those that face many, many other businesses.
That's the chairman of A2 Milk, David Hearn. Red meat exports totaled $9.4 billion for the year ending June, according to the latest analysis from the Meat Industry Association. Despite the disruptions caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, the sector saw an increase of $639 million, or 7%, compared with the same period a year earlier. China remained the largest market, accounting for $3.7 billion of red meat exports. This was an increase of 24% on the previous June year and was partly driven by China's demand for red meat protein as a result of the impact of African swine fever on its pig population. Taking a closer look at the beef market, AgriHQ says the prices for New Zealand manufactured beef, which is ground into mince products, have held steady over the past month in the United States. However, senior analyst Mel Crode says this might have more to do with dwindling New Zealand supply than with strong US demand.
By all accounts, New Zealand exporters are actually reporting limited interest from US grinders and end users. And we're also now seeing a really good supply of beef from Central and South America. And the possibility there is that it will also limit any upward pricing pressure for imported beef if they can simply secure it from other markets.
That's Mel Crode from AgriHQ. Finally, a new herbicide that controls potato weeds like black nightshade has been approved for use in New Zealand, subject to conditions. Boxer Gold contains an active ingredient called prosulfocarb, which is new to New Zealand, but has already been approved in the EU, Australia and Japan. Benefits identified in the application process for this product include reduced resistance to weeds. That leads to bigger potato crops and more choice for farmers. And that's Rural News for now.